A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
It's Michael Z welcoming you to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. It's November 22nd, 2003. A date. My gosh. 40 years ago, the most horrible thing in my lifetime happened. The assassination of President Kennedy. We were going to do something else for the Saturday Special today, but when we became aware of the date, we decided we were going to do this. So stay tuned.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Yeah, you've heard it all before, but there's something just sort of chilling and goosebumpy about when you think about it being 40 years ago today, and in fact, an hour from now, just about maybe 55 or 50 minutes from now will be the actual time exactly 40 years ago that President Kennedy passed away. Less than 30 minutes from now will be the exact 40th anniversary of the shooting of President Kennedy at Dealey Plaza in Dallas. Noah, are you here with us?
Yes, I am here, Michael.
Well, I was 12 years old back then, and you were probably, what, minus 18 or something?
Definitely not around this earth.
How old are you?
I am 23 years old.
23 years, okay, so you were 17 then, I guess. Or minus 17.
Minus 17, yes.
Minus 17, I guess in your lifetime, there's probably what's the most memorable, horrible date that you can recall? Probably what, September or September 11th, maybe?
Yeah, September 11th, and definitely the earthquake, the October 17th.
Oh, October 17th. Yeah, that's a big date for a lot of us in the Monterey Bay area. A couple other dates come to mind in my lifetime. Besides November 22nd, 1963, there was also December 8th, 1980. Does anybody know what date that was? It was a very, very significant date, and I don't know. I guess we won't play games. We'll just say that's the day that John Lennon was murdered in New York City, and I remember that being a very, very, very sad day. Then, of course, there was 9/11. Anyhow, I've spent a number of really exciting, interesting hours glued to the television set in the last during the last several days. The History Channel is an amazing television network, and all this week they've been doing specials on the Kennedy assassination. Pardon me. What struck me as unusual and unexpected is that there were mainstream advertisers like AOL, Time Warner, like Dodge, like Buick, like Seiko watches. None of these fringe advertisers that you might expect in that might be sponsoring a conspiracy theory oriented type program. So that indicates to me something that I've thought for some time has been the case, and that is that the Kennedy assassination is one conspiracy theory that probably a majority of the Americans believe in. In other words, believe that what happened on November 22nd, 1963 is not at all what our government has been telling us. And last evening, I recorded a portion of the program that I viewed on the History Channel, and to me it was so riveting that I thought it would be good to spend maybe 11 or 12 minutes. I think that's how long the clip is.
It's about 15 minutes.
Is it that long?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
All righty. Well, let's go ahead and play that now. It talks about how Lyndon Johnson was probably responsible for the death of President Kennedy. Now, I mean, I'm sure that's gone through a lot of people's heads over the years, that who would have had the most to gain from the death of President Kennedy. Well, it probably would have been the guy who became president as a result. And what I didn't know is that he had had some shady business dealings, LBJ, as vice president, and connections with people like Billy Sol Estes and Bobby Baker, some names that those of us who are old enough might remember were in the news back in the early 60s. And apparently Lyndon Johnson was right in the middle of, or right on the edge of getting into major trouble himself through the connections with these characters. And it wouldn't strike me as all that far-fetched that he might have just very well engineered the whole assassination of Kennedy himself, because he was a very, very, very powerful guy in the state of Texas and, of course, in the United States. So why don't we spend a little time listening to that clip. We'll give credit to the History Channel. And it's not over, folks, by the way. I think there's some more tonight and tomorrow night on the Kennedy assassination. And I highly recommend looking at the History Channel. It's really an interesting program. So we're going to play a little audio clip of that. And Noah says that takes about 15 minutes. So we'll listen to that. And then we'll be back with more on an open mic Saturday special, which will probably turn into a discussion of the Kennedy assassination from November 22nd, 1963, exactly 40 years ago today.
One of the most compelling pieces of evidence linking Johnson with the assassination is through his henchman Malcolm Wallace, the convicted killer of Douglas Kinzer. In the hours following the assassination, on the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository building by the southeast corner window, the Dallas police discovered an unidentified fingerprint.
The fingerprint, is the ultimate part of the Mack Wallace story. The FBI fingerprinted every Texas School Book Depository employee, including the women employees who worked downstairs, never handled the boxes. They fingerprinted every Dallas officer that was in the sniper's nest so that they could remove those fingerprints from consideration. At the end of the day, you have one fingerprint remaining. It sits in the National Archives for 35 years, until 1998. An investigator takes it to a highly qualified, certified latent print examiner, CLPE, along with a redacted fingerprint card from Mack Wallace from the 1951 murder of John Douglas Kinzer. And he said, here's a print card. Do you see anything?
Nathan Darby is one of the most experienced fingerprint experts in the United States, with 35 years' service in the U.S. military and the City of Austin Police Department.
I didn't know where it came from, and a week or 10 days later, I called the party and said it brought it over, and said, well, it's a match. The finger that made the ink print also made the latent, and we call that a match or identified. And there was no question about it. They matched.
3 years later, Nathan Darby readdressed the same evidence and reconfirmed his original findings.
When he was done, he had a 34-point match. And when you mention that in criminal circles to an investigator, how confident would you feel with a 34-point match? Oh, that's a slam dunk. It can't miss. It doesn't get any better than that. You give me a 34-point match on any case in the United States, I'll take it to court and win.
The inked and the latent print are made by the same finger. And the other evidence that I've been presented with was Malcolm Wallace's left little finger, without a reasonable doubt.
Now, the fingerprint in question came from a cardboard box in the sniper's nest in Texas School Book Depository. Fingerprints do not last long on cardboard. So it's fair to say that either Malcolm Wallace was wandering around there for no purpose, he was in that sniper's nest on November 22nd. That evidence, that fingerprint evidence, along with Malcolm Wallace's sordid resume was sent to every imaginable agency or individual that could have an interest in what happened to John Kennedy. The only people that took notice of it were the Dallas police, because it's still an open homicide on their blotter. And they took serious notice of it. And then they were told, forward it up the line, because Dallas no longer has any evidence. It's all in federal hands, even though it's an unsolved homicide. They forwarded it up the line. And it took 18 months for the FBI to say verbally, no, it's not a match. And the single most important fingerprint found in the last 35 years was buried.
I don't know why they couldn't say that the thing didn't match. It did match. There's no question about it. My experience, I've just had too much experience. I know what I'm talking about. I'm positive. No question about it. My dying declaration, if I was to drop dead right now, they match.
It's still the big lie. It's unknown. It's unidentified. No, it's identified. It's Malcolm Wallace, and he's linked to Estes, Carter, and Lyndon B. Johnson directly.
According to the official record, Malcolm Wallace died in a single car accident on this lonely stretch of Texas highway on the night of January 7th, 1971. There were no witnesses. His body was taken to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead. He was buried here, close to other family members. 8 months later, another key member of LBJ's inner circle, presidential aide Cliff Carter, died unexpectedly. But shortly before his death, he met with Billy Celestes.
They discuss all these murders that Cliff Carter is knowledgeable about. Now, Billy knows about some of them, but Cliff knows about more. And he fills him in on all the details. Malcolm Wallace being a central figure in most of these murders. And there are over 17 murders that Carter tells Estes about. And he actually tells Estes that he fears for his own life. And within 2 days' time, he's dead.
Johnson's attorney, Edward Clark, was one person who prospered. But when LBJ was brought low by the Vietnam War and decided not to run for a second term, Clark felt shortchanged for his role in the assassination, according to his legal partner, Barr McClellan.
He expected $8 million spread over 8 years, over the two terms Johnson was to serve. When those terms were cut short by Johnson's sudden and unexpected resignation, Clark was $4 million short. He was not a man to be denied. When he had done a service, he was going to be paid. Planning ahead, he went to Big Oil and Big D, went to Clint Murchison to say, look, I've done y'all a great service. I deserve more. I'm going to get it. Murchison agreed with him and suggested he file for a well in the middle of the Great East Texas oil field. He called me in as his personal attorney to make the first bid for getting that money, and he was not successful in getting $4 million, but he got his $2 million. So when all was said and done, Clark realized $6 million for the assassination of John Kennedy.
Barr McClellan believes documentary proof of these dark deeds lies in the Johnson-Clark legal records. For many years, they were kept in a high-security area above the Clark offices, known as the penthouse.
Any of us attorneys could get into the general area, but the secret area, the Johnson area, was locked off, accessible to no one. I have a strong belief that there are substantial records somewhere that show this conspiracy and its both evolution, its execution, and its cover-up. But I don't know where they'd be. We need to see them.
Johnson was ultimately consumed by the high office he had so unscrupulously striven for. A broken man, he retreated to his Texas ranch, where his lawyers were to secretly summon a psychiatrist to deal with his deepening depression.
An immediate concern at the law firm was that he would say too much. $1 million was available to the psychiatrist to keep anything from coming out. one reason for all these protections was the greatest demon that was dogging Johnson at the time, and that was the assassination of John Kennedy and the role he played in it. We had to keep it covered up, and for sure we had to keep the psychiatrist muzzled, and we did. But if any one set of records needs to be produced, the psychiatric records should be disclosed to the American public, because they will, I am confident, disclose his role in the assassination.
Only 4 years after leaving office, Johnson died. But there are those living who are still afraid to come forward to tell what they know about the guilty men.
People are afraid of him dead. He's been dead since 1973, and his shadow still casts fear in this country, especially in Texas.
Undaunted, across the nation, the questioning voice of the American people will not be silenced. An overwhelming majority refused to accept their government's version of what happened in Dallas on November the 22nd, 1963.
There's no statute of limitations on murder. If they're still continuing to cover it up in 20 more years, that's obstruction of justice. It's a conspiracy. The men who killed Kennedy don't end with the people who pulled triggers. It should be important to all of us that we get to the bottom of this.
Just as John Kennedy's car took an incredible turn when it went onto Elm Street, 300 feet later, our form of government, our way of life, our way of respecting our government, our way of being respected by our government, took that same kind of bizarre wide turn, and we haven't gotten back on the straight and narrow yet.
The Kennedy assassination was the end of faith in government. And so it's up to the little man to fight the odds. Davy Crockett, Sisyphus pushing his rock. Someone has to keep fighting the odds. And even though you know the chances are that you're never going to get a resolution to what you're fighting for, you have to fight for it anyway. Just the principle of justice. Just the principles of American democracy. Don't give up. Keep fighting.
This episode has presented one viewpoint. We have also presented many other theories in numerous programs. For the History Channel, I'm Steve Gillen.
Never before heard tapes, classified medical records, and revealing interviews with John F. Kennedy's inner circle. JFK, A Presidency Revealed, tomorrow at 8 p.m. on the History Channel. A remarkable piece of television that defines his life rather than his death.
It was one of the most traumatic events in American history. The murder of John F. Kennedy, the 35th President of the United States, on the streets of Dallas on November 22nd, 1963.
If the presidency of the United States is being decided by bullets fired from rifles rather than ballots cast by citizens, we have indeed been taken over by a whole new form of government.
A growing majority of Americans refuse to accept the official version of events, that a lone assassin murdered their president.
Those of us who want the truth, want to really learn what happened here, keep asking these questions, because it tells a lot about ourselves, about our values, and ultimately the direction of our country.
New information about Kennedy's murder continues to emerge, confirming that the truth has been withheld from the American people.
We're very lucky that there at least are people who individually have now convinced the vast majority against the mainstream media that the Warren Commission got it wrong.
From his hometown of Duluth in Minnesota, one of those questioning critics of the official version of events is Professor James Fetzer.
The resurgence of interest in the death of JFK had repercussions when Congress passed the JFK Records Act in 1992 that created a 5-civilian-member board entrusted with the responsibility to review and declassify documents that were held by the CIA, the Secret Service, the Office of Naval Intelligence, and so forth. We know from its own report that it had some significant failures. For example, and the Secret Service, which deliberately destroyed motorcade records that would have revealed that the motorcade in Dallas was a travesty a violation of at least 15 different Secret Service policies for presidential protection. This behavior on their part raises the most serious and disturbing questions about their complicity in the entire affair.
From the moment he arrived in Dallas, the president's protection was suspect, according to Vince Palomara, a Secret Service expert.
There was last-minute changes invoked by the Secret Service involving President Kennedy's security. Specifically, agents were told not to ride on or near the rear of the limousine. Now, these orders were funneled from the assistant special agent in charge of the White House detail, who was the planner of the Texas trip, Floyd Boring, to one of his assistants, a shift leader by the name of Emery Roberts, who was in charge of the follow-up car. You can see an agent, Henry Ripka, doing his normal duty, jogging beside the limousine, when in the follow-up car, you can see Emery Roberts stand up and wave him back, and you can see a very perplexed Agent Ripka waving his arms in the air several times in seeming disgust. There was another last-minute change made at Love Field, invoked by the Secret Service. The Dallas Police Department motorcycle outriders were told not to be beside the car. It went from 4 to 6 down to a measly 2 riders on each side. And to add insult to injury, they were pushed further back in the motorcade by those agents not being by the car, by those motorcycle officers not being in the position. It opened up President Kennedy to a field of fire from in front and from the rear.
In the months before the trip to Texas, there had been a growing number of threats against the president's life.
Despite the increase in conspiratorial activity in the month of November 1963, and the apparent red alert the Secret Service appears to be under in response to this activity, the agency acts.
Well, there we are, Michael.
Yeah, that's the end of it. It just sort of ends abruptly there. Sorry about that, but we want to thank the History Channel. I didn't get permission to record that, but we're giving them credit, and I think it's such a wonderful set of productions and documentaries that they've done that I would highly recommend watching tonight, and you'll be able to get a copy of it. You can buy a copy. It's not very expensive. And again, I was fascinated by the fact that these are being sponsored by mainstream advertisers, which to me indicates that it's not only conspiracy nuts who believe that the Kennedy assassination was not what we were told it was by the Warren Commission. So anyhow, you know, for years and years after the assassination, I would hear discussions, I'm sure we all would on radio and television and read about it in the newspapers and so forth, that it may well not have happened the way we were told. But nothing really meant anything to me until I actually visited Dealey Plaza in Dallas, which was the first time I did that was in 1995. I think I did it again in 1998 or 99, something like that. And I'm curious about how many other people in our listening audience have visited Dealey Plaza, because you really can't understand unless you have incredible abilities that I don't have, about, you know, the forward bullet and bullet from the rear and all that kind of stuff, unless you're right there and you stand where the Zapruder, where Abraham Zapruder was standing when he filmed that famous 8mm Zapruder film. it doesn't really mean anything to you unless you have visited Dealey Plaza. So I'm curious about if we have anybody in our audience who has visited Dealey Plaza and has any thoughts. I'm also very curious about whether or not there is anybody in our audience who actually believes that there was a lone assassin in Lee Harvey Oswald, and believes what the Warren Commission tells us. I would really like to hear from such a person and tell us why here on the KSCO Saturday Special on AM 1080 KSCO, where it is now 10:30 exactly. It was exactly 40 years ago, right about now, that John F. Kennedy was shot in the head in a motorcade in Dealey Plaza in Dallas. And he died about 30 minutes later in Parkland Hospital. Where were you? I was just getting out of my seventh grade, orchestra class. And someone said, President Kennedy's been shot in the head. And I thought it was a joke, of course. But it turned out later that, of course, it was true. Oh, my. Anyhow, we're going to open our phone lines, 479-1080 or 477-1340. And we would like to hear from you. Don't have to talk about the Kennedy assassination, but golly gee, I mean, it sure seems appropriate to me 40 years later, and I just can't believe so much time has gone by. Anyhow, so Noah, I see you're on the computer here, and do you have any thoughts about this conspiracy thing from what you know? I mean, I don't think you visited Dealey Plaza, have you?
You know, I have actually, I have been there in, I believe it's in Dallas, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went out there when I was a kid, and I found everything pretty fascinating. I had a teacher in high school who was all about this subject, and he could mention every single fact about the assassination down to how much air was in the vehicle he was in. So, he was insane about this issue, so I learned a lot from him. Actually, when I went out there was a man claiming he was there when Kennedy got shot, and, he was some bum type guy. He was there drinking a beer, and he gave us a tour of the grassy knoll where supposedly his father had him when he was shot. And it was definitely fun getting all the information from this guy who obviously was not there but believed he was. So it was a very fun time.
Oh, well, so you saw the sixth floor window of the Texas School Book Depository.
Yes, I did.
And you saw where the position of the car was when Kennedy was shot, and you must have seen the Zapruder film 1,000 times even in your lifetime. What do you think? I mean, do you think that there's any possibility that that Oswald acted alone, or maybe even a possibility that he wasn't even all that involved? What do you think?
I definitely think there's more to this event than the government is telling us, and I think people have the answers, but the answers have not been given to the public yet. So, yes, I definitely think there was more than one person involved. I don't see how Lee Harvey Oswald could have done all of this himself.
So, yeah, the magic bullet and all that, and it had to have come from the front. It's just how the public can. Well, I guess they would try to dupe the public for so long. I think the truth is finally going to come out. I don't know when, but I think it's going to be really, really fascinating when it does. One of the other programs that I saw on the History Channel, it was called The Love Affair. And it's a person by the name of Judy something or other who was the mistress of Lee Harvey Oswald. And she started the program, she started her interview with the statement that Lee Harvey Oswald was a hero. And certainly she wouldn't have said that if she believed that he was involved in the assassination, or wittingly, as opposed to unwittingly involved, as sort of a pawn in the assassination. That's for the first time I'd ever heard, it was the first time I'd ever heard any kind of a message like that. And she sure seemed sincere. She told a story about how the person that everybody in the world believes was at least involved, if not the lone assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, was actually not a person who was a friend of Cuba and the Castro government, but actually an enemy pretending to be a friend who tried to get the man killed by infecting him with some sort of a cancer virus. Anyhow, what I'm saying right now sounds just totally weird and nuts and bizarre, but if you saw this program that I hope will be repeated tonight, on the History Channel, I think you would be absolutely fascinated. So, let's see. I think we've got some callers already here to the Saturday Special. Our phone numbers, as always, are 479-1080 or 477-1340. Give us a call. It's the Saturday Special. You don't have to talk about the assassination of President Kennedy, but I can't imagine why you wouldn't want to on this, the 40th anniversary. Let's take our first caller, and I think that's Westside Al on line one, please.
Good morning, Michael.
Hey, WSA, how you doing?
Oh, pretty well. Doing a lot of reflecting, as I'm sure many people are, about this day and its impact on our country. But, you know, there's a almost infinite number of conspiracy theories. I personally think that Oswald was a patsy. He was set up to take the fall, that Jack Ruby maybe was terminal with cancer, and he's got a pretty sordid background. Maybe he was convinced that since he was going to die anyway, he might get rid of this guy before they found out the truth. Who knows? Who knows? I mean, I doubt we ever really will know. But
I think we might, because people are starting to speak up like they never had before, because certain people who could hurt them are now dead.
Yeah, well, certain people that got information are going to be dead pretty soon anyway, whether it's from old age or whatever. But if I was seriously involved in something that serious, I don't think I'd stick my head out from under a rock for about 100 years. In any case, Michael, here's a little piece of the puzzle that I've never been able to figure out, and it may not even be part of the puzzle, but I arrived in Athens, Greece about 6 weeks before the assassination, came in on a TWA flight, the same flight that Jackie Kennedy was on, and of course she was in first class. And
I was going to say, I would think
We lowly enlisted people. Interestingly enough, the Greeks
won't let us. You had to ride with the white folk, huh?
Yeah, we were back in the cattle car. But see, the Greeks won't let us fly military transport into their country, so we had to come in on commercial jet. That gets a little money to the Greek government and other commerce interests, and we weren't allowed to have housing on the base there either, except for a small barracks where some of the screw-ups had to be kept. But so we had to live off the local economy for lodging, for food, and everything else. Weren't even allowed to call it Athens Air Base. We were just attached to the airport. And the night of the assassination, I had been working in the communications center on the swing shift, which is 4 to midnight for those of you that never did that before. And I just left to walk across to the cafeteria and get myself a meal. And the difference between when I left that communication center and when I walked into that cafeteria was that the cafeteria had just been told that the president had been shot, and everybody was just hysterical. There were a lot of high school kids in there that had just gotten out of a movie. They were crying. They were just going crazy. And I didn't know
what... Just from the announcement that he had been shot, not that he had died yet.
Yeah, just that he had been shot. And all that happened within 5 minutes between when I left the comm center and arrived there. I had no idea what was going on, but eventually I did find out. And, of course, the next announcement was for all personnel to report to their duty stations, at which point we were given M1 carbines and loaded into trucks and stationed along the perimeter of the flight line and where the nuclear storage facilities were. And for several days we did 12-hour shifts, and then, remarkably enough, things got back to normal really pretty fast. That Christmas, Bob Hope brought the USO show down to the flight line, and things were way back to normal within just about a week or so.
Wow.
But I always wondered about Jackie Kennedy, because when she stayed there for about a week, she was out just offshore on Aristotle and Nassus's big converted British Corvette, which is kind of like a destroyer-sized ship. And he had converted it and put swimming pools and tennis courts and all this on the decks. And she was out there for about a week. And then, you know, after a while after Kennedy was dead, she married Aristotle and Nassus. I wonder what was going on out there.
Well, clearly she knew him before. So.
I think that's about all
clearly,
we can say.
That's about all we can say, right.
Get into another theory. But, hey, Michael, I just wanted to share that with you, and thank you for the show. I'll be interested to hear what other listeners and callers have to say.
Appreciate your call. Thank you, Westside Al. Let's go to Joe in Salinas. He's on line two, Noah. And let's welcome Joe to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO, where it is 10:39 a.m. on the November 22nd, 2003, 40th anniversary of the death of President Kennedy. You're on, Joe.
Yeah, I'm looking through the reprint of Life magazine from, 30, 40 years ago, right after the assassination.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm looking right now at a picture of Oswald Pro-Castro killer. Oswald gave out leaflets favoring Cuba and New Orleans last August, is what it says. He was arrested a few days earlier for brawling. I always remember,
and it was only just a couple nights ago when I saw this documentary that that was really bizarre and unexpected, but actually quite believable, that maybe Oswald was not who we all have been led to believe that he is. And maybe he was actually, he was portrayed in this documentary as someone who actually would have wanted to try to protect the president and keep him from being assassinated, but he was in too deep with all the others who would have killed him anyhow or something. I don't know.
Well, I'm afraid I don't believe that at all. Again, I read a book that was put out like in 1977, if you remember, entitled Marina and Lee, and it was by the same author who had interviewed Oswald when he was in Russia. I can't remember what magazine she wrote for, but I mean, she wrote about him when he was there because it was pretty prominent news at that time when he defected.
Right.
At least in the Dallas area, and you know, at that time the Cold War was running hot and heavy. So it was prominent news, and then so she interviewed him there, and then later on, when the assassination came about, well, then she realized it was the same guy, and she went back and got all the information. There was when Oswald brought his wife Marina to the Dallas area, there was a large group of Russian immigrants who took them in, you know, happily, gratefully. Then they realized that Oswald was a flake. He was a flake, and, you know, he was so mixed up. You know, at first he loved Russia, then he hated Russia, then he wanted to bring her here. Then as soon as he got here, and he went through a number of jobs, and he was just all over the board politically and you know, emotionally. And then he was going to take her back. And that's why he went to Mexico.
Jerry, how old were you at the time of the assassination?
Oh, I was in fourth grade. I was in Catholic school when the sisters heard that about the shooting.
Uh huh.
Remember that very well. I think it was a little bit, maybe around 11:30 or something in the morning.
In all these years, what has your belief been about the Oswald having acted alone?
That it was him. He did act alone. You know, it's so easy. You know. Our minds are, it's so hard for us to believe that one guy could so totally change things politically. I mean, we are so idealistic and the future looks so bright. It's hard for us to comprehend that one screwed up guy could do it. And so we don't want to believe the truth which is before us. And we would have to believe that ex-President Gerald Ford, that Senator Arlen Specter, that all those guys were part of this conspiracy to cover that up.
Okay, you obviously have not visited Dealey Plaza, right?
I have not, but I
there is no question in my mind that if and when you visit Dealey Plaza, you will change your mind. You know, I'm not. You probably still think, you know, Oswald was at least an assassin, if not the assassin. But there is no question in my mind that when you visit Dealey Plaza, if you ever choose to do so, and you get the perspective that you will understand that there is no way in the world that that could have been done by one gunman. No way in the world.
Why is that?
Well, yes. because because the bullet came from above, the one that shattered his head. It came from above. It came from the front. It didn't come from the rear. And the only thing that could have come from the rear, if Oswald was up in the sixth floor window, that's where he would have fired, and it would have entered from the rear, which it did. But there was another bullet that entered from the front, and that couldn't have been fired from the same room. But see, this is radio, and even if it was television, you couldn't really, I couldn't really explain this to you. You have to go there to understand it, and then you'll understand. Maybe indeed we'll never know who really all did it, and who was responsible, or the group of people that were responsible. We probably never will know that. But there is one thing that I'm absolutely certain of that I wasn't certain of before I visited Dealey Plaza. And before I visited Dealey Plaza, hey, Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone assassin of President Kennedy, just like the government said. And there are just so many things. If you look at this, I think if you see this stuff on the History Channel, your mind will be changed also. Interesting. Now, I understand Cyril Vitomsky, our own Cyril, is on the line here, and he thinks Lee Harvey was the lone gunman and acted alone.
Actually, he's not on the line here with us, but he did call in to to say, you know, agree there with Joe and say that he believes that Lee Harvey Oswald was the only gunman involved with the shooting.
Well,
and he called
I
in to say
can't
that.
Wait,
so.
Can't wait to hear his program tomorrow. I'm sure he'll be. I'm all ears, as what's his name would say, Ross Perot. I'm all ears on that one. Obviously, Cyril could not say that and have visited Dealey Plaza. There is no. I'd like to know if there's anybody out there who has visited Dealey Plaza who believes that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. That's who I really want to hear from today. But I know we have some other callers. We don't have Krishna anymore. Who we have? Who is it? Jeff on line 3. Let's take Jeff's call here on the Saturday special at AM 1080.
Good morning.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Great. I just wanted to say that I cut part of that History Channel program, which is pretty lengthy. I'm not sure how long it really is, but fascinating.
Well, there are several of them, actually.
Yeah, so it's hard to kind of ignore all these facts, which is what apparently they were by design picking up data and evidences. If it didn't meet the conclusion they wanted to, they would destroy the evidence. So luckily, some people didn't provide their photographic evidence because there's lots of people there with cameras, and the few that didn't, were able to analyze that stuff and see actual pictures of shooters in the process. One of them was over the fence with a gun firing right at the time Kennedy was hit, and wearing a.
And you wouldn't even need that if you visited Dealey Plaza. Have you visited?
Yeah, I lived in Dallas for several years, and you know, it was something we'd go by every once in a while, to say the least. But I mean, I thought more importantly, though, at this point, you know, rather than arguing over. You know, like I say, there's no argument as to what potentially happened there as far as number of shooters and stuff like that. But I guess they were talking about there was a meeting that night in Dallas of the Nixon and Hoover. Hoover came down on a special flight to meet with at a party of a wealthy oil man in Texas, and I guess Johnson actually showed up at that party too. So we had Nixon, Johnson, and Hoover at that party, I guess making the final arrangements. And apparently Johnson was all happy that the Kennedys weren't going to bother him anymore at that point going forward.
Right, right.
So, you know,
yeah,
so here they go. So then if you look at everybody else connected with that, who's done very well, apparently everybody in the Warren Commission that cooperated did very well, including Gerald Ford and some others, and the people who didn't cooperate, didn't want to buy those arguments, actually were ruined financially and politically.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you didn't play the game, and here we are 40 years later, and you wonder who's still part of that game, and I guess, and you look at you know, how Bush got elected and so on, and what's going on, including Bush was part of that program back then because he was running the part of that CIA operation when that whole thing went down. So, uh-huh. You know, it all goes back, and it looks like we've got this legacy here, and I just wonder if there's any way we can take it back.
Good question. Anyway. Yeah. So things are just sort of out of control.
Things are out of control, and we don't have control, obviously, and I think the rest of the world sees that better than we do because we're so deep in it that we think that... we actually voted for Bush, for example, when in fact he was behind in the polls going in that election, and the Supreme Court voted for him.
Mm.
So where do you go from here? Anyway, I just wanted to pose that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling the Saturday special. That was Jeff. I don't know where he is, but let's go to Millie. Millie is on line 4. And say hello to Millie on the Saturday special. It's 48 minutes past 10 a.m. 12 minutes remain in this hour of hour number 1 of the Saturday special. Hey there, Millie.
Hi, I too viewed the History Channel's several documentaries, and I hope they're back on tonight, so I'll be prepared to tape them. I think it's so many significant things were shown, such as Johnson's close ties with Clint Murchison, the oil billionaire, who
yep.
literally ruled Texas, including all the government offices and the police, the DA's office and everything else. And obviously Johnson's ties with him were very significant. But I thought it was particularly interesting. Remember did you happen to see the part where the death car was shipped intact to a secret GM garage in Detroit? Where the windshield and there
it
were
the Ford, it was the Ford Motor Company actually.
Oh, that one. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that anyway, it was shipped.
It was actually where it was manufactured.
Okay. Now you saw the witnesses who are still alive and quite lucid, who saw the windshield before it was shipped off, and were in charge of the car until it was shipped off.
Right.
And it had. It
had a bullet hole in the front.
Yeah, one bullet hole in the front, and I thought after. It was examined by witnesses in Detroit, one still alive, that he said there were two, but I'm not clear on that.
I don't remember hearing that, but okay. I remember them definitely saying that there was one, and that they had been ordered to destroy that windshield and put in the new one.
Yeah,
with
not
no
only
hole
that,
in it.
The entire car was renovated. The entire upholstery was stripped off, and
right.
So all any evidence that was on that in that interior of that car was, and even the exterior.
Right. Not to mention what they did with the autopsy photos. They totally doctored those. And superimposed. They didn't have the great computer desktop publishing and Photoshop software that we have available to all of us these days, but they did a pretty amazing job of painting over the massive rear head wound where the bullet that entered from the front exited from the rear. And it's amazing.
It is amazing. Also, it's very significant that J. Edgar Hoover, as the last caller mentioned, personally visited Murchison the day previous to the assassination.
Right.
So,
well, there are, I can't wait to hear what Cyril has to say. Maybe he'll call into the program because Cyril is a particularly intelligent person here.
Yes,
and,
well, he's also.
I'm certain that he has not visited Dealey Plaza in Dallas.
And I am
and
certain.
Still believe that.
You know,
I just,
wait a minute. I'm also certain that he's not going to agree with any conspiracy theories whatsoever.
Just because he's anti-conspiracy theory, you think?
Well, he's very pro government, whatever the government does.
I see. Okay. Well, we'll see. All right, Millie, thanks very much for your call on the Saturday special. Yeah, Noah.
I think it's about time to pay some bills, right? Or the stick around?
Good point.
Gotta have some money in
that
bank account
to
pay my paycheck, too. Huh?
You are a wise young man here. So, yeah, let's take a break here, and we'll be back with more callers. I think we've got Ben and Dave waiting, and we might have some other callers. But it's the Saturday special, hour number one with MZ. We're talking about the JFK assassination 40 years ago today, exactly. And we'll be back right after this group of commercial announcements. Stay with us.
This is John Cannon with California Home Loans. You hear a lot about no-cost loans, and I'm here to let you in on an industry secret. They don't exist. That's right. There's no such thing as a free lunch, and there's no such thing as a free loan. The title company won't work for free. The appraisers are fussy about getting paid. And yes, even your friendly mortgage broker wants a little compensation here and there. But I hear you say, I heard it on the radio. Maybe you've even gotten what you thought was a no-cost loan in the past. Well, here's the truth. Somebody paid your fees, probably the broker. They did it by charging you a higher rate than you would have gotten had you paid your own fees. If they told you that, then you got to choose and they did their job. If they didn't give you the choice, then you need to be looking for a new mortgage guy, which is where I come in. My name is John Cannon, and I would be happy to help on your next purchase or refi. We specialize in jumbo and super jumbo loans. Call me at 415-846-7676. That's 415-846-7676. One more time, 415-846-7676. Licensed by the Department of Real Estate, number 01330102.
Organizers of the annual Vets Hall Thanksgiving Dinner for local homeless and low-income families are putting out a call for volunteers and food donations to help support this year's meal. The VFW has been hosting dinner since 1984 and serves almost 1,200 meals at each gathering. The group is seeking donations of turkeys, vegetables, canned goods, and desserts, which can be dropped off at Veterans Hall beginning November 25th. Monetary donations are also welcome. To make a donation or to get more information on volunteering, call the VFW at 831-429-8344.
When most people eat, they don't consider what happens to their food after it's been swallowed. Calories and nutrients are taken by the digestive system to feed our bodies, but what happens when we can't absorb the nutrients we ingest? Here's pharmacist Benjamin Fuchs to tell us how to better digest our food.
Food and digestion is the hardest thing that we do to our bodies on a regular basis, trying to digest our food. It creates a lot of stress in the body and produces a lot of toxins in the body as well. So a food holiday is always a good idea, no matter what your health issue is, or even even if you're just plain healthy, it's a good idea to take a break from food once a week. And when you take a break from food, you want to make sure that you're drinking lots of veggie juices. Did you know just chewing your food appropriately can be a wonderful way to eliminate inflammatory conditions and can be a wonderful way to improve longevity? Just simply chewing your food can allow food to be digested more appropriately. The less we eat, the better. Now, there's different kinds of digestive enzymes. Proteolytic enzymes can have some really important effects, most especially for helping reduce inflammation. In fact, bromelain and papain alone have been shown to reduce inflammation due to trauma, but you also get secondary benefits, and that is improved digestion. Improved digestion can help eliminate toxins that make it into the bloodstream. Those toxins can actually be simply pieces of food that didn't get digested. So digestive enzymes are a wonderful strategy for taking care of that, and the digestive enzymes should be taken before meals.
Balance out your digestive system by taking American Longevity's Ultimate Enzymes. Each bottle contains a proprietary enzyme complex formulated to support all aspects of digestion, aids in detoxification, and at $19 a bottle wholesale, you'll be properly digesting fats and proteins without eating away your hard-earned dough. Give your body what it needs for proper digestive health. American Longevity's Ultimate Enzymes. To order or to pick up American Longevity products, please call 1-831-425-3090. That number again is 1-831-425-3090.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server colocation and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and cold fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
Well, we're back here. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO and AM 1340 KOMY. It is the Saturday special, and here is your host, Michael Zwirling.
And thank you very much, Noah. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's take Ben's phone call. He's on line two. Ben, welcome to the KSCO Saturday special. You are on.
Good morning, Michael. Thank you for bringing this very important subject to the airway, and you pleasantly have surprised me this morning, Michael.
Why is that?
Because of your intellect, you have been to Dealey Plaza, and you know an exit wound is an exit wound. The man was shot from in front, and he had more than one bullet. And the reason his brain was taken after the autopsy, or during the autopsy, it was taken as a trophy. I have my ideas about where it resides, but it would show the trajectory of the bullet by today's forensics, that it came from the front, probably through that throat wound, and up and took out the back, the whole, almost a fourth of his skull.
Right.
That's what Jackie was chasing across the hood.
Yeah.
And he was killed in a triangulation set up by the then forming CIA czar, Mr. Bush, along with a lot of other people. J. Edgar Hoover had prior knowledge. Johnson knew.
So you think George Bush Sr., I guess you're not the only one who thinks he was involved, huh?
Of course, because his payoff was the vice presidency under Reagan and then the ascendancy to the presidency. This CIA thing, Wait a minute.
That was so far before Reagan, Ben.
Reagan is not implicated, sir.
His payoff
was the vice presidency, the ascendancy to the presidency. See, when they killed Kennedy, the die was cast for Robert Kennedy to be taken out also because of the hatred J. Edgar Hoover and the Johnsons had. They didn't want another Kennedy in there after they spent so much time. The people that took out JFK are the same are a coup that are the ones that put Mr. Bush today in power, and they control for the last 40 years. Our rights have been taken, and I still, Kennedy's words ring in my ear, not what your country can do for you, what you can do for my country. What I'm doing for my country, even at the risk of some people thinking that I'm a nutcase and all that, because here's some evidence for you, Michael Z. Why was the evidence, if there was knowledge, and there is knowledge in the Warren Commission, as flawed as it was, of all the outstanding evidence, why is it buried if no man is truly above the law?
Yeah.
And also couldn't
agree with you more, Ben. We will hold you over if you'd like, but we're getting pretty close to the top of the hour here, where we do have another second hour ahead of us here on the Saturday special, on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz and KOMY Watsonville. We will be introducing USA Network News right about now.
Actually, stay tuned for Kay's editorial right now.
Oh, okay.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here's Kay's Whirling.
Weighing in on the recent Massachusetts ruling on gays having the legal right to marry, the reaction in much of the country is outrage. Many Americans vehemently oppose the ruling that two men or two women should legally be considered married. Really, this issue is a matter of semantics. If two same-sex people love each other and want to make a life together and believe that they should have the same legal rights which a husband and a wife have, then they should have those same legal rights. However, their union cannot be a marriage. Marriage is the union between a man and a woman, period. It is the only such union sanctified by God, and most Americans do believe in God. And how dare I mention God? Somewhere in the Old Testament, it is proclaimed by God that sex between two men or two women is an abomination. Therefore, such a union cannot be a marriage. While it is not for anyone to make moral judgments about the lifestyles of others, and while legal partnerships of gays should give them the rights which they have proclaimed they have always wanted, now suddenly, for some obscure reason, the gays are demanding that their union must also be called a marriage. If the Massachusetts ruling prevails, the institution of marriage as we know it will be trivialized and assaulted in ways we cannot yet fathom, and our society will continue to spiral downward. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay's Whirling.
We now join USA Radio Network News already in progress.
How to build a gold portfolio, and which are your best buys now to get a bigger return on your investment. The Insider's Gold Guide is absolutely free with no obligation. In fact, call now to find out how you can receive a free solid gold coin with each new portfolio. Call 800-510-9594. 800-510-9594. The Capital Gold Group wants to give you a free, no-hassle Insider's Guide to owning gold. Call 800-510-9594. 800-510-9594.
After this week's Massachusetts High Court ruling allowing homosexual marriage, Oklahomans are going to get to vote on the defense of traditional marriage.
Enid Representative Mike O'Neill plans to propose the Defense of Marriage Act for consideration during the next session of the Oklahoma legislature. The act will propose a referendum on a constitutional amendment that would expressly define marriage as the union of one man and one woman. While the state already has a law preventing gay marriage, O'Neill says his proposed constitutional provision would have more legal authority. Mark Kuntz, Oklahoma City.
The parliament building in the former Soviet state of Georgia was stormed this morning. Lawmakers scuffling with protesters who are demanding the resignation of Georgian President Eduard Shevardnadze, the former Soviet foreign minister under Mikhail Gorbachev. 14 people killed in two homicide car bombings at police stations in Iraq today. Most of the dead are Iraqi policemen. There were no American casualties. USA Radio News.
Radio Ovaltine's on the air with the Ovaltine song.
Ovaltine hot, kids like it a lot. Rich chocolate Ovaltine, it hits the spot. Creamy and delicious, may I say nutritious. It tastes just like dessert.
Now, Jason, it's time to jump.
Ovaltine hot, kids like it a lot. Rich chocolate Ovaltine, it hits the spot, man. Creamy and delicious, and may I say nutritious. It tastes just like dessert.
Radio Ovaltine signing off. Later.
Wall Street struggled Friday, finally eking out some very narrow gains at day's end. The day's difficulties included some down news from the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation.
Freddie Mac finally restated earnings for the past 3 years. The number two U.S. mortgage finance company said it understated earnings by $5 billion over the period, this to show the steady growth favored on Wall Street. The company has faced intense scrutiny and a management shuffle in wake of accounting questions. Shares of Freddie Mac ended little changed. I'm Conway Gittins at the New York Stock Exchange.
The Fed tried to pump up investor confidence a bit yesterday. Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Roger Ferguson suggested that healthy economic growth looks likely to continue, and further that low inflation would mean the recovery would not force an increase in interest rates for some time to come. For more on these and other stories, go to usaradio.com. I'm Kurt Lewis with news on the USA Radio Network.
Hello, good early Saturday afternoon to everyone. You are tuned to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz and AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. It is 5 minutes past 11 o'clock on this Saturday, November 22nd, 2003, and I'm Noah James with your Central Coast weather forecast. Today, mostly sunny with highs in the 50s to lower 60s, northerly winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. This evening, mostly clear and cooler, scattered frost, lows in the upper 20s to mid 40s, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Your Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for today, northwesterly winds 5 to 15 knots with wind waves 1 to 3 feet, and a northwestern swell 4 to 8 feet at 11 seconds. This evening, northeasterly winds 5 to 15 knots with wind waves 1 to 2 feet, and a northwestern swell 3 to 7 feet at 10 seconds. We now take you back to the hour number 2 of the Saturday special with Michael Zwirling. Stay tuned.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
And we've got a spirited discussion going about the assassination of President John F. Kennedy exactly 40 years ago. I guess that's going to be the topic for the rest of the Saturday special today. We hope you'll stay with us.
Sorry, baby, but I really got to go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And I'm quite interested in what Ben and Salinas has to say on this topic, so we're going to give him a little bit more time. But before we do that, I want to play something for the first time. You're going to be hearing it over the next few days, several times. I couldn't sleep in the middle of the night. There's been something I've been wanting to say for a while, so I wrote it, and I produced it, and I used technology to zap it into the computer at KSCO, and hopefully that... I've spoken long enough to give Noah the necessary amount of time to bring it up on the computer. Am I right, Noah?
On January 31st, 2004, about 2 months from now, KSCO will celebrate 13 years of ownership and operation by the Zwirling family. This is an absolute miracle in as much as even back in 1991, survival of standalone, independently owned commercial AM radio stations was very difficult. But now, following the invention of many new forms of advertising, including the development of the internet and especially the deregulation of the radio industry by our federal government so that most of the radio stations in the United States are controlled by two or three enormous and predatory corporate conglomerates, survival of an independent, community-oriented radio station such as KSCO is all but impossible. Why? Because we're too small to compete with the big guys. We don't own a group of six or eight stations, so we can't attract a staff of hungry, productive salespeople to sell advertising, despite the fact that KSCO is an incredibly effective advertising vehicle and value. We have had numerous opportunities to sell out to one of these big companies, but have thus far resisted because we feel that it is important for the Monterey Bay area to have an independent, locally owned and operated, community-conscious voice for its citizens, even if it means we have to add a lot of money to the operation each month to keep it going. But I have to be honest with you. It's getting more and more difficult each day. And to be even more honest, I don't know how much longer we will be able to keep subsidizing the station. The big guys would just love to control this station along with its enormous signal over much of California. We are extremely proud of our staff, personalities, and listeners who make KSCO the unique station it is. And it is certainly our hope to be able to continue and improve. But please, we need your help. If you care about and appreciate KSCO and want to keep us on the air as your independent community voice, here are four simple things that you can do. Please, do as much business as you possibly can with our KSCO advertisers and let them know that the reason you're there is because of their KSCO advertising, which you greatly appreciate. Please tell everybody you know to listen to KSCO so even more people will become aware of us, get hooked on our programming, and support our advertisers. Please use every chance to tell business owners about the opportunity to sponsor local news, traffic, talk shows, and sports programming on KSCO. If you want to start a business yourself or help a friend build a business, think of or suggest KSCO and consider buying an hour to do a talk show once a week. A great way to build a customer base fast. And finally, get in the habit of buying and taking American Longevity nutritional supplement products from any of the distributors you hear about on KSCO. These products are the absolute best in the industry. They work, and everyone can benefit by taking them. And by doing so, you'll not only be helping yourself and your family, you'll be helping our distributors, and you'll be helping KSCO continue to be your favorite radio station. Okay, we are back. Yeah, I wanted to get that off my chest, ladies and gentlemen. I've been wanting to say that for a long time. It's 11:10 on hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. My name is MZ. And back in the studio, we have Noah. And let's see, I think we were going to go back to Ben in Salinas, who we were talking to right when the news hit. So let's bring Ben back up.
Ben, you're on with Michael.
Yes, thank you, Michael. And I'd like to second your editorial and say to your listeners, without KSCO people, we have no voice, we'll never get the truth, and you go to L.A., you go anywhere, KSCO is the only damn station worth listening to. You listen to either ends of the AM dial, you get that moronic crap and their crap feeders, you know. But if you want to listen to that, it's your choice. But KSCO is our voice, and we must fight to protect it. So I second the editorial. Now I'd like to concisely try to wrap up here.
Sure,
our youth, since Kennedy was killed, our youth, mine and yours, was stolen by this coup that put him Johnson in power and continue to keep Little Shrub here in power. Our youth was stolen. Why do you think it's an accident that the prevailing wage in the union work at that time was $16 to $18 an hour and now it's $8? Has your house or your car been price cut in half? You think that's an accident? You think this current Medicare and energy bill are an accident giving more and more and more and more to the wealthy? Why do we have Cheney's secret energy commission?
Ben, I know.
Hello, Ben.
Yes.
Ben, well, it seems like we lost Michael there on the hotline, so...
Let me wrap this up.
Yes.
All I want to say is this. We have to fight for our country, and yes, the people that killed Kennedy are the same people that have Mr. Bush in power now. And of course Mr. Vitomsky believes that a lone gunman did it. He never lets the truth get in the way of his moronic principles. He also ridicules... Oh, people here saying accent. He doesn't understand what that caller from San Francisco. Cronyism is what's going on. Cronyism. The old boy network, the billionaire for lunch, but sticking all of our national treasury and their private bank accounts while our boys and girls are over there dying for dollars. There's no reason for them to be in Iraq. I say bring them home alive, and I'd like to commend the Zwirling family, and I hope that God gives them the power to keep on subsidizing our only voice on the airways. And it's time for me to shut my big mouth and let someone else speak on their opinion. But yes, we have Nazis in the White House, excuse my language, and we must deal with it or our freedom is at risk. You don't believe it? Watch the upcoming presidential election, and that'll determine whether we're going to be free or fascists. I'm sorry for...
All right, thank you. Thank you, Ben, for your call to the Saturday
Special.
Sorry for
my language, sir, but I believe it.
Let's take our next caller. That would be Dave, and I don't know where Dave is, but he's on line 8. Dave, you're on the air on the KSCO Saturday Special.
Actually, we lost Dave there, so let me see.
Oh, okay.
Who's next in line there?
Well, Paul in Capitola, maybe, in line 3?
Yes, one moment.
Okay.
Paul,
let's
you're
say
on
hello
the air with MZ.
Hey, okay, this is kind of my...
Well, looks like we lost Paul there.
Hey. Yeah, what happened to Paul?
Paul dropped off the line, so let's move on down to the next person. Who's next in line there, Michael?
Well, it's not Paul and not Dave. How about Harold and Aptos, line 4?
All right, Harold and Aptos. You're on the air with Michael.
Okay, first we got to get a definition of conspiracy. All conspiracy means is two people meet together and
yeah.
are going to do something.
At least two people, right.
Okay, let's give two historical conspiracies, Mr. Vitomsky, that everybody knows about. One was the murder of Julius Caesar. the Roman senators, his enemies, got together and murdered him, okay? The other one is when they tried to bomb and kill Hitler. Some of the German army officers snuck a bomb in the room, it blew up, and most people know that conspiracy. So I can give you a lot of other ones, but I'm going to stop right there on conspiracies. So there are conspiracies, is my point. Now, who do I think did it? Who's the brains that are smart enough, and who is sitting on that Warren Commission that was from the Central Intelligence Agency?
To suppress it.
Alan Dulles. Yeah. JFK fired John Foster Dulles because of what happened at the Bay of Pigs, and Lyndon Johnson should have never set up that Warren Commission because he did not have a chance. You have to understand the times. We had the Bay of Pigs, we had the Cuban Missile Crisis, JFK had his federal marshals and the FBI agents in the South for civil rights, and Bobby Kennedy dumped a mafia don, I think it was Carlos Mochello, right in a Venezuelan jungle, found out he was an illegal alien and dumped him out of the country. So there was more than one people following the president trying to kill him in Dallas. But the way, like Michael says, Dealey Plaza, all his Secret Service in the buildings disappeared. He had minimum Secret Service going 10 miles an hour around a winding street. And who's on that?
Well, I didn't say that, Harold. The History Channel said that. So let's give the proper credit. But I believe it, actually. And I have visited Dealey Plaza. Have you?
No, I have. But I've seen the films on the History Channel and everybody else, the Bruder films. And I've seen that area of Dealey Plaza from the Grassy Knoll down. But, yeah, that was a perfect...
It really doesn't mean anything to you unless, well, maybe you can visualize that. I sure couldn't. And boy, for a long time I wanted to visit it because it was an historic place. And I finally got around to doing it in, I think, June or July of 1995. And boy, right then and there, it didn't take me long to realize that there was no way in the world it was a lone gunman. No way in the world.
I have to add, who was on that Warren Commission, put together by Lyndon Johnson, who hated Bobby Kennedy and did not like JFK. Okay, you got Gerald.
They're going to do a whole thing about that on the History Channel tomorrow night. I think it's either tonight or tomorrow night. I think it's tomorrow night. The hatred between the Johnsons and the Kennedys.
The room went ice cold when Bobby Kennedy and Hoover or Lyndon Johnson were in the same room. It was that bad. So we had two Southern senators. One of them was Hale Boggs. And the Kennedys have been messing around with civil rights in the South. Gerald Ford, the only guy with any integrity was Governor Earl Warren, and he was scared off. And if you can remember, Alan Dulles was in there. You know, there was not a chance of a decent investigation. So I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to say my best guess is that John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles is the brains behind that.
But, yes, more than one gunman, right?
Oh, for sure, yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Harold. Nice to hear from you.
Hey, Michael? We need to take Margaret. Yeah, she's been waiting online for a little while.
Forgive me. Yeah, I guess she was off the screen here. So let's take Margaret and apologize to her for keeping her waiting so long. You're on the air now, Margaret.
Okay. great show.
Thank you.
I think there is no question in my mind that Johnson did it. I was on a dairy farm. I was 5 years old. My mother was having my brother, and it was the first time I ever saw my godfather break down and cry, you know, that day. And excuse me, I have a terrible head cold, but and he jumped up and he was screaming all that day and all that night. Johnson did it. Johnson did it. So since I've been 5 years old, I pretty much believed Johnson did it, and I think that the History Channel has really struck a chord of truth in this programming, and it just baffles me the stubborn denial that exists among Americans. I mean, this is evidence here.
Well, what I didn't play in this, actually, I think it was in there somewhere. The History Channel said that this is one of many theories that we are just advancing here. They're not taking a position position that they believe that Lyndon Johnson was behind the assassination. But I happened to be looking at that and was able to record that section of it, and it was such a fascinating piece that I thought I would play it and open the Saturday special with it. I hope it didn't bore people, and maybe it didn't come across as well on radio as it would with the visuals.
I thought it came across very well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, really well. I watched the program twice, and you know, I think they had to put that disclaimer. It was the first time they put the disclaimer, and I've been watching it all week, 4 or 6 hours a day. But you know, I think they put that disclaimer in there, Michael, because you know, they're worried about domestic terrorism. The Johnson Library, the memorial, the Johnson Memorial. You know, that those buildings should probably just be demolished before they're bombed.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Oh yeah, and don't you hope that Bush would open this all up and it would really heal this country? You know, there's no Daley Plaza memorial, is there? There's nothing at Daley Plaza showing a memorial of this, is there?
I think you're not far from Daley Plaza. There is a Kennedy memorial. I think, you know, within a half a mile, if I'm not mistaken. But you're right. There is nothing at Daley Plaza.
Seems kind of eerie.
I know
that there's no memorial there. And
have you been there?
No, I have not. I did have the opportunity, but I just didn't have the stomach to do it. You know,
right.
That day anyway. But isn't it no wonder that Nixon distrusted the Democrats so much and the Watergate and everything? I mean, it's kind of no wonder, you know. Oh. I mean, he was kind of in on it too. I would assume. And don't you think that they should just exhume President Kennedy and take a look and see how they reconstructed all of his fatal wounds and all of that? Just exhume him and get it over with. Let's get to the bottom of it. How dare they deny that he was shot from the front? How dare they deny that?
The newscasts...
All right, well, it seems like we lost Michael again there, Margaret. So
okay.
You can continue to talk if you like.
Oh.
Yeah,
there we go. Michael, you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We lost him again. So,
you know, I was just going to say that, you know, why Johnson was chosen as a vice president in the first place is beyond me. I always thought he seemed like such an inappropriate vice president, and I always thought that Bobby Kennedy should have been vice president.
Well, thank you very much for your call, Margaret. Appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you.
No, let's go back to Paul, who I understand is back on line three. Hey, Paul.
Hey, basically, what I wanted to say is that Constitution, we've had our currency since, like, 1913, right? Currency, our Federal Reserve notes were passed in 1913 on December 24th, late at night, when no one was there. And we are paying $1.5 billion a day to use our own money for the privilege of using our own money. Well, the Constitution mandates gold back to currency. Now, I'm going to a point here. That the contract with the Federal Reserve, which is a private company, it's listed in the phone book under corporations, they banned us from backing our currency in gold. I got a $5 bill about 2 years ago with red serial numbers from 1963.
Yeah.
And it says U.S. note. It has no.
Yeah, I was going to say United States note, because it was long before that they stopped making silver certificates in $5 denominations.
Right. Kennedy started issuing silver-backed currency, which was not involved with the Federal Reserve. It was to be used as a medium of exchange, like $50 billion or something. A huge amount of $5 bills were to be produced, and they were immediately starting to be produced, and then we lost our president. I know that the people that run the Federal Reserve wouldn't give up the interest stream of $1.5 billion a day no matter what. That was one point I wanted to make and I haven't heard anything about. And when you kill a president, you can't lose his brain. It's a murder investigation. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I don't know. Well, that's my main point.
Thanks for making it on KSCO AM 1080 on the Saturday special. My name is MZ, and Noah's here pushing the buttons, and I guess Gordon and line two will be up next, right? Hello?
Hello, Michael.
How you doing, Gordon?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. This is 40th annual
anniversary
recollection of the events. It brought back some very scary memories for me. That was 1 week before I went to the Navy when that occurred. The morning I had been sleeping in, I was out of high school, I was getting my last chance to get any rest before going to the service. I woke up out of a dream that Kennedy had been shot at very close range in the head. I got up. I walked into the living room. I turned on the TV, which is a tube set. It took 5 minutes to warm up. And there the events are starting to take place where he was on the drive. Shortly after that, on TV, showed him as being shot. I remarked about this to my, about my precognition to a couple of the neighbor kids who, you know, thought I was full of it and so forth. Later on, I went back to my old high school and I was standing in the parking lot. I saw a couple kids riding on a bicycle and I said, that tire's gonna blow out right now. And that tire blew out on that tire. From that point on, I had a number of people convinced that I had a pretty good idea what was going to take place. Since then, there's been a number of times in my life when I've had these kind of precognitions that have come to bear. I haven't said anything. This time, I'm about to say something. I had a dream, it was about a year ago, of an atomic blast to the southeast of here. The Chinese are behind it. Now, enough for the precognition. You can care to believe that or not. But since the assassination of Kennedy, which brought us right into the Vietnam War full strength, you know, I'm a Vietnam vet, we've had flooding of drugs in America, we've had the borders open up, we've had the sealing of the records by Jackie O for 75 years, we had the follow-up assassination of Robert Kennedy, we had the death of Marilyn Monroe, which were two insiders on all of this. We had the change, as your last caller said, of a monetary status. The Kennedy half dollar was the last silver coin to be minted into circulation. During the time of the assassination, there was a play called McBird, which goes into detail all of these events, and that kind of got taken off the shelves. There was a record produced of that play also. But again, all of this was allowed to happen. There are plenty of people out there that will take any course of action, not necessarily based on logic, because that's just what they're doing. And that's what's going on. These things are allowed to happen. Whether it was a bona fide conspiracy or not, it was allowed to happen. I am very clear on that.
Right. So that, have you been to Dealey Plaza?
Yes, I have. I've been to Dallas 3 or 4 times. Passing through, you know, waiting in transit. You know, I visited Dallas. I've driven through there a couple of times.
Is it clear to you?
Well, I think what he was going to say, is it clear to you that that Kennedy, there was more than one gunman in the Kennedy assassination?
Oh, absolutely. He was led into an ambush. That's what I had clear in my precognition of this, was this was an ambush.
I wish someone would call and give us some who doesn't believe what you and I and apparently Noah believes.
We actually have a caller in Watsonville. Steve in Watsonville, he's been to the plaza, and he believes that Harvey Oswald was the only one who shot him.
Oh, okay. Well, Gordon, thank you for calling.
Sure. Good day, Mike.
Okay. Take care. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. Let's take Steve in Watsonville's call.
Steve, you're on with MZ.
Yeah, I hate to kick that down a click, but what I said wasn't that I believe Henry Oswald was a lone gunman. I said I didn't necessarily believe in the conspiracy theory, and I've seen the evidence shown and the normal intuitive leap that looking at the spray and movement of the head that he had to be shot from the front, and I've also seen test films of a similar target's being hit and showing the same thing when hit by the rear due to the temporary vacuum caused by the projectile. So I don't really know. The only thing I would caution is people just absolutely believing in it on an almost religious basis. Ben and Salinas is a perfect example. Of course, Ben, it kind of lines up with his belief in the conspiracy that we didn't land on the moon, because if you're down on the country, of course, it's impossible to believe they did something really great, and it's equally impossible not to believe they did something terrible. And that's the only thing I would caution, is maintain a little skepticism and keep an open mind, Michael.
Oh, absolutely. I
Hello?
Yeah, well, we keep losing Michael's whirling here. So, you know, why don't we take a little...
Well, I think it's a conspiracy of the people that assassinated Kennedy that keep cutting him off. Okay, I'm going to throw that up the flagpole right now, okay? Have a good day.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah. Yeah.
You keep dropping off the air here. So why don't we go to a little break and get our break over with, and we will resume on the Saturday special with Michael Zwirling when we get back, and hopefully he will be on the telephone line so he no longer drops off. Stay tuned to AM 1080 KSCO and AM 1340 KOMY.
Another lending success story from LendingTree.
I'm way too busy to get a line of credit right now, so I'm letting LendingTree get one for me. Well, actually, they're getting me four. See, I fill out one simple form and get four offers back within hours. I will eventually have to take a minute to choose one, but that's the fun part anyway.
Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree. Equal housing opportunity. For additional information and state license disclosures, please visit our website located at LendingTree.com.
State Farm neighbor in your neighborhood.
We share the same hopes, the same dreams. We face the same challenges. That's why when it comes to helping you protect all you work for, nobody does it better than your neighborhood State Farm agent.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Windows are a way to see and a way to be seen. Hello, I'm Guy Mitchell from Lighthouse Windows in Santa Cruz. Lighthouse Windows installs doors and windows in homes and in new construction. We make a big difference in how you see and how you are seen. Listen.
My name is Alice Nicolaiason, and we're residents of Santa Cruz County. Took him one day to put the windows in. You'd never even know they were here. I love the looks of it. I like the grids in the front, and we decided just to have the plain windows in the rest of the house, but it really dressed up the front of the house. When the windows and the doors are shut, you don't get the outside noise. All the neighbors, when they'd walk by, they commented on the windows, and in turn asked us who did it. We told them, and they have had some done themselves.
New windows and doors from Lighthouse Windows will keep your home warmer in the winter, cooler in the summer, and quieter all the time. So when it comes time for you to improve the way you see and the way you are seen, call on the window and door specialists at Lighthouse Windows in Santa Cruz, 426-2601, 426-2601.
If you think you missed the boat on low mortgage rates, think again. This is Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland with more good news for homeowners and home buyers. There are still mortgage loan programs that offer low rates and lower payments than you can possibly imagine. If your goal is to save money on mortgage payments, pull cash out for any reason, or to pay your home off early, please call Pacific Inland today at 475-2600. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
If you're planning an office party, a holiday gathering, or a New Year's celebration, remember, for a safe, fun, and festive way to celebrate the holidays, have plenty of Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider on hand. Martinelli's, in the traditional champagne bottle, is the perfect choice for your holiday gatherings. It has all the elegance and sparkle of champagne, but without the alcohol. And you know, Martinelli's has the best flavor because it's made only from U.S.-grown fresh apples, not from foreign concentrate like most other brands. Martinelli's looks great, tastes great, and complements all your favorite foods, from party snacks and buffets to holiday dinners. Martinelli's, fun, festive, and non-alcoholic. Enjoy the original, Martinelli's Gold Medal Sparkling Cider, a family tradition since 1868.
Hi, this is John Martinelli, fourth generation manager of S. Martinelli & Company. We hope you'll enjoy our sparkling cider at your holiday celebrations and have a safe and festive holiday season and a happy new year.
You are tuned to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz and AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. We're here talking about the Kennedy assassination on the Saturday special with your host, Michael Zwirling.
Hey, thanks very much, Noah. We are back here. I've renegotiated a couple times here, so hopefully we won't be dropping out anymore. If we do...
Well, it just appears that we dropped out right there, so Michael should be calling back on the telephone lines here.
Line 8, I think.
All right, Michael, I will be expecting a call from you on line 8.
Oh.
Actually, someone is on line 8 right now. Why don't we take Dave Allen's call, and if you drop out one more time, Michael, why don't you give us a call back, all right? Here is Dave Allen. Hey, Dave.
Yes.
What's going on? Can we get your ideas on the assassination? Yes,
can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
Michael,
like Barack.
Michael, take a hammer to it. That'll fix it. Yeah.
What's going on, Dave?
Oh, my gosh. Hey, anyways, I wanted to comment on the so-called people who ridicule the idea of a conspiracy, as if the word conspiracy automatically reeks of nutcases, retarded people, and people that, smoke too much stuff.
Yeah.
The word conspiracy in Webster Dictionary means two or more.
Well, it looks like we lost Dave there, but Michael, you're on the air.
you're having a good time today. No?
Oh, it's great. Hey, Dave, why don't you give us a call back, and we'll get you right back on the air, okay?
Okay, well, I'm not going to drop out anymore. That damn equipment here, we're not supposed to badmouth equipment, but we're going to do it because I understand I've dropped out half a dozen times, and that is not cool during a KSU Saturday special broadcast.
It's the Bolsheviks.
All right, who's up next?
The Bolsheviks.
Okay.
The Bolsheviks are back.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your perspective on this?
I'll tell you what. Thursday evening, ABC, with that moron Canadian marsupial Peter Jennings, who a former MI6 operative who comes to the United States to tell us our news, had a whole BS story done with three-dimensional computer enhancements and basically boiled the whole thing down to the one gunman Oswald theory once again. By the way, Michael, I have a tape on my TiVo. If you ever want to come by, I'll keep it saved for you.
Okay.
But they're trying to show how computer enhanced show how the angle of the trajectory, the bullet came from here, and did this, did that, went through Kennedy's neck, and the Kennedy's back. Then at the end, they explain how his head got blown up. And they're trying to say because when he got shot in the back of the head by a bullet traveling 3,600 feet per second, his head jerked back, and because his body jerked backwards, that threw the brain matter backwards. If you believe that one, that's some land on the moon you could buy.
Yeah.
If you ever study ballistics, you gotta know it's common sense that he got hit from the front. When a bullet traveling that kind of speed hits something, it's going to splatter in the direction that the bullet is going.
You can see it on the Zapruder film. But
yes.
Even if you don't understand perspective, which is I understand is very difficult for people unless they're there.
That's right.
Once you visit Dealey Plaza, there is no way in the world you can believe that there was a lone gunman.
Yeah.
No way in the world.
Well, you know,
absolutely impossible.
Well, you know, Michael, if anybody ever played pool, when you hit that white cue ball into the other ball goes that direction. It doesn't come back at you. It's simple, geometry. I mean, laws of physics.
That's right.
The whole thing, I taped it. I couldn't believe it. They're still pushing that crap.
Uh-huh.
By the way, touche to Kay's editorial.
Oh, okay.
It was going to ask you, hey, what does Walmart and Michael Jackson have in common?
Uh-oh, I'm afraid to ask.
Boys underwear, half off.
Okay.
Although, hey, Michael, by the way,
boy, Dave, you sure are belching a lot. It's just like old times.
No, I'm not belching. I'm bleeding my throat.
Oh.
If people would like to
belch a lot on your radio show, as I recall.
Well, if people would like me to do a show again on the radio, I suggest that everybody call by voicemail. If I can get at least 50 people to auto-ship a pickback, I'll be on tomorrow morning.
Oh, wow.
Night, whatever.
All right. Hey, well, that's cool.
listen, 831-427-5500. Also, Michael, I'll give you some new privy information.
Okay.
The minister, Dave Allen, who's the ordained minister of the International Metaphysical Interfaith Church, is starting his own intuitive network. Dave Allen's psychic friends. But
hey.
Actually, if anybody would like information on that, same number, 427-5500.
All right.
Let's see, what else can I show up here while I'm at it?
I don't know. I'm totally entertained, but that's a real number. Is that your house number, Dave?
Almost.
Oh, okay.
No, 427-5500. Anybody out there would like to give me a ring? I'll be happy to, anybody within reason, I'll be happy to call them back. By the way, it was nice to hear Millie. I thought she had passed away. I haven't heard from her for a long time.
Millie, what are you talking about? She calls most of the shows. She calls a lot of the shows.
I don't listen to Conrad's show.
Oh.
It's boring.
Oh.
omelet. Somebody professes to know everything that's self-evident.
Are you talking about Cyril?
I suppose.
Okay. Well, shades of the old days of KSCO where the hosts snipe at each other.
I don't need some foreigner come in my country and tell me things that I've studied 40 years. I was here when stuff went down. Like you, Michael, I felt the reaction. I was at school. I felt the consensus of the whole nation. That whole next 5 days, you could cut the air with a knife, correct?
Uh-huh.
And I'm from Massachusetts, where the Kennedys were from. The Kennedy family had many, many enemies. First of all, the Meyer Lansky's Jewish mafia out of Chicago, which together with Sam Giancotti got Kennedy elected.